Hello, welcome to Sonic Tonic. I'm Greg Perret, and I'm extending a very warm welcome to all of you who are listening. I'll be bringing you music, interviews, and special features from the world of jazz and blues. This podcast is brought to you by the California Jazz Foundation. It's a nonprofit that assists California musicians who have given their lives to this music but have fallen on rough times. Our podcast will reflect the talent, the journeys, and the insights of a wide range of musical artists. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a Sonic Tonic. Hello, everybody. The title of this Sonic Tonic is called Mellow Bellows, and no, it's not a Cat Stevens reference. It just dawned on me, though, that bellows is not a very commonly used word, so an explanation might be in order. The dictionary definition is a device constructed to furnish a strong blast of air. Some of the uses for such a device include anesthesia machines, blacksmiths, hydraulic power circuits, and of all things, cuckoo clocks. I wonder if long-winded politicians can be included in this category. I guess it would have to be a blast of hot air. Sorry, I'm digressing. Okay, in the world of music, one of the instruments this principle is applied to is the accordion, and that brings me to my guest. His name is Mike Bolger, a very talented jazz musician. Mike is a multi-instrumentalist, and one of the instruments he has mastered is the accordion. The other instruments he plays are a wide range of brass instruments. By the way, he can play the trumpet and the accordion at the same time. And he also plays the piano. Diversity is definitely a word that applies to Mike Bolger. Now, I've known Mike since he was a teenager. He was part of that aspiring group of young musicians I encountered through my two sons back in the day. He's a great guy, and I feel his takes on jazz and music in general you'll find quite interesting. Now, branding and politicizing musical genres has never been a favorite topic of mine, unless one is in the business of music, and that is a discussion for another day. I'm saying that to say that the jazz purists and the jazz police out there might wonder what the accordion has to do with jazz and blues. And you know what? That perception would be fair. But jazz and blues musicians are not one-dimensional people, and I'm more interested in people and their stories rather than genres. I'll bet a lot of you didn't know that Charlie Parker loved country music, and he's one of the people that defines jazz as an art form. Okay, enough said about that. So as far as the musical portion of this show is concerned, I'll be playing two tunes of Mike's. One is called No Show, and the other has a vocal and is called Marielle. Also, I'm going to play two of my own compositions. They are called Genesee and A Medianoche, and feature the very talented Nick Ariando on accordion. At the time of those recordings, I was very fascinated by the music of tango and Astor Piazzolla in particular. So I wrote several pieces incorporating tango and jazz. Okay, before I get into the interview with Mike, I'm going to play one of the lovely tunes he sent me. It's entitled No Show. Thank you. Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing good. You know, Mike, the last time we spoke, you said something that really intrigued me. I took away from that conversation that you took several paths into music, and the accordion was a large part of that. I mean, is that a fair statement?
Yeah, the accordion, as opposed to a lot of orchestral instruments, and I think you as a guitar player can relate, you know, guitars aren't found in orchestras. You know, the repertoire, you can go so many places with it. And yes, it took me places because you don't find it in an orchestra. You do find it in a klezmer band or you do find it in a polka band. And not to say I was pursuing those styles specifically, but they kind of found me. You know, mm-hmm. Once you have a certain amount of skill on the instrument, we're a rare breed, accordion players, for the most part. So the people find you.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think that the accordion is not an instrument that immediately pops into people's minds. Mm-hmm. And if it does, it's probably viewed as a novelty.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you find it in just about every culture on the planet.
Yeah, you do. It has been like a musical passport playing that instrument.
That's a good way to put it.
I don't think anybody will ever cover all the styles that it plays. I mean, it would be a life's work. And being that it's a folk music, I don't think a lot of that repertoire is even written down.
Right.
You'd have to really study, you know, to get up to speed with the Russian music and the, you know, tango. I know a lot of tango is written down. That's a pretty orchestrated music form, but, you know, very deep. The other problem with the instrument, or the other challenge of it, I guess you could say, is that accordion is a family of instruments, which includes harmonicas and bagpipes.
Yes.
Within accordion, you have a lot of different systems. In addition to knowing all the repertoire, no one's ever going to know how to play all the different systems. No one plays button accordion and bandoneon and concertina and piano accordion. You know, I'm sure somebody does, but that would be also a life's work to be that consummate on the thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I've focused on the piano accordion because I was a pianist prior to playing the accordion. So it was an easy transfer for me.
Okay, so the piano was the first instrument you learned how to play?
Yeah. Yeah, I took that up at a young age. There was a neighborhood piano teacher, and all the kids in the neighborhood went to her, and it clicked for me.
Okay, so what type of music did she teach you?
I mean, we were playing, you know, the classic, the Schirmers and the Layla Fletcher book. Our teacher was an Argentine lady, so she had a lot of Spanish repertoire that we learned as well.
Mm-hmm.
She was very much a concert pianist. I kind of diverged from the path of many of her students in high school. I started getting more interested because I was playing trumpet by that point in jazz. And so she was exposing me to boogie woogie, but it was all stuff that we could buy at a sheet music store. And we would just work up the arrangements in the course of those lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I studied for a long time with her. It was walking distance from my parents' house. She set up these really great recitals and catered everything. And, her husband was a stained glass window maker. So they were both cool artist type people and really sweet. And yeah, she taught generations of children from the neighborhood.
So that was your piano beginnings. What was your path to the trumpet and jazz?
Yeah, so trumpet, when they offer, you know, I'm older. So I'm old enough to have experienced in school, you know, music instruction in my elementary school. And
oh, God, what a concept. Music in schools.
Yeah, so they offered it to us. And thankfully, I had some musical training. And sort of the test to get in or get offered an instrument and be in the band was that I could sing back the pitches that the teacher played on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
So my ears were good enough to do that. And so I was offered trumpet since they had run out of trombones. And And that was it. I was off and running by that point. After about a year in the, you know, in fourth grade is when they do that. I think they still do that in some LAUSD schools. They have the, you know, roving music teachers that go from one campus to the next. They do five schools a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got music once a week in elementary school and, you know, playing orchestral instruments and in a band setting, you know, and having to blend and everything. And at the end of that year, they said, yeah, your son's pretty good to my parents, and here's some private instructors that the district can recommend. I ended up signing up with a principal who was a former bass trombone player in the Denver Symphony, and he had a pretty strong handle on jazz. So he actually taught me jazz harmony on the piano, and that was mixed in with the lessons, and he was a huge huge influence for me as well. So I'd say by the time I was in high school, you know, I was functioning as a pianist, like an accompanist, mm-hmm. and I could play in a variety of different styles. And then like you, I went to Loyola, which had no music department per se, except choir. And, you know, but the choir soon found out, oh, he can accompany, you know, he's useful. So I always had a job, essentially.
So the Jesuits put you to work.
They did. And, you know, I sort of pursued other avenues for trumpet playing back then, knowing that Loyola was lacking. I played in the Junior Philharmonic, which was they're still around. It's a youth symphony that was started in the 30s, and that was great. And then I also played in the Cal State Northridge Youth Symphony to sort of just expand my horizons as a trumpet player. In addition to that, I had my high school rock band, and I actually landed a regular gig at a Chinese restaurant. I played jazz every Friday night through high school.
Okay, you played jazz in a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, it was a kind of hip scene, so I was blessed to have that experience.
So when you played in that restaurant, were you playing trumpet or piano or both?
I mainly played trumpet. Yeah, they would bring in a rhythm section. It was usually a piano bar.
Yeah.
And then on the weekends they would bring a rhythm section in. We would just have fun, and you know, I got free Chinese food and $20.
There you go.
And yeah, and a variety of other experiences that I might have been too young for, and it was great. It was a great, you know, real world thing. But by that point, my high school rock band was also playing parties and clubs and stuff. So I was out there professionally, you know, earning income. And then the accordion was introduced to me because of my high school rock band. We started playing in coffee shops. You know, we had to be acoustic. So that was the acoustic version of what I was using in the rock clubs. Yeah, I was playing like on old Vox Continental organs and Fender Rhodes and that kind of stuff. Way too big to bring into a coffee shop. Yeah, so we came up with an acoustic version of the band. You know, I guess the coffee shop scene was kind of new back then. It was pretty hip. And it was also because we were underage, it was legal.
So. Right. Oh, no, I get it.
So that was a thing. And then that quickly, once I got a handle on the accordion, I quickly took it to the street and I became a very avid busker through high school and college and even to this day. And the accordion is a great vehicle for that. I've taken the accordion all around the world and I've played on the street and all over Europe. And, you know, pretty much anytime I'm on tour, I try to see the cities that I'm playing by playing on the street.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. It's an instrument that resonates with so many cultures. But it's still interesting to me that on one hand, it's perceived, and I guess especially in America, as a novelty or fringe instrument. But on the other hand, it's found in some form all over the world.
Yeah. No, I've come to really appreciate the doors that it's opened for me. L.A. being a Latin city, you know, out of college, you know, I was quickly learning cumbias on the accordion and like I said, a passport, a musical passport, like styles I would have never played if I was a keyboard player or a trumpet player even.
Right.
But because I was playing the accordion, now I was playing, you know, norteños. Now I was playing corridos and cumbias and all this other stuff. It was a great experience to have a handle on that stuff and be introduced to it.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this interview. I think the perception of what it means to be a musician or jazz musician in particular needs to be expanded.
Yeah.
You know, if a musician is educated in the language of music and is indeed fluent in different styles, you know, jazz, rock, classical, or indigenous forms, mm-hmm. their ability to survive will increase substantially. I mean, it gets down to how do you make a living at it?
Yeah.
So going back to jazz in particular, I find that the new crop of young artists are very knowledgeable about music in general and incorporate that in their artistry.
Mm-hmm.
So to say one is a jazz musician has much broader meaning than it did during the era of its beginnings, and I think that's important for any art form.
Yeah, I would say that jazz, although we kind of hold it in a high academic platform, you know, on a plateau
sure.
in this country. You know, if I would say if I was from another country and I had a kind of good experience of folk music, and I think Americans are kind of separated from our indigenous folk music because it's so regional. You know, how you have Appalachia, which has its folk music, and you have Texas, which has its folk music, and you have Cajun country, which has its folk music. So folk music in this country is very regional, but there's no like overlying folk music of the United States. However, I do think that jazz kind of fills that gap.
Ah, that's a great point.
But I think jazz is like urban folk music. So I approached it from that angle. An accordion is, I think, a good vehicle for that kind of understanding of what jazz is, you know?
Oh, that's a great, I love that. I should tell our listeners, you know, because I have great admiration for your talent. Mike can play the trumpet and the accordion at the same time.
Yeah, I think it looks harder than it really is. And I'll tell you, there's a pretty long list of trumpet players that can play piano and trumpet at the same time. Arturo Sandoval.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Nicholas Payton. And it's inherent to the trumpet. It's the lightest, most manageable brass instrument. And it's the only one, because of its lightness and the fact that brass instruments are played with one hand on the valves, that you can play it with one hand. You can't do that with a flute or a sax. You need two hands to play all 12 notes on a flute.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I hadn't thought of that. That's true.
So I'm logistically able to get away with it on the trumpet. My right hand's occupied playing the trumpet. My left hand is the hand that I have to play the accordion with, because that's the hand that breathes.
Oh, I see.
That's the hand that pumps it. I used this to my advantage, actually, in high school and in college as a busker. You know, it was a great act. And it's a great way to make music and just kind of extend the arrangements of the songs I'm playing. So I'll play the melody on the trumpet, take a solo, play a solo on the accordion. So I'm getting more mileage out of each song because I can play it on two different instruments.
Wow. Mike, I am so enjoying this. I can't thank you enough for taking your time out to do this. In terms of this particular podcast, you know, I thought about my own love of the instrument, and I had written some pieces that were like jazz tango pieces. So I'm going to include those in this podcast as well, those original jazz pieces where I have accordion on there.
Great.
So what's up for you now? That's my standard question. And in the face of the pandemic, how have you been surviving?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, the pandemic. I guess I'm doing as well as it could be expected. I had transitioned into more of a teaching kind of profession over the years, and I'm very thankful for that since I have a six-year-old son, and teaching is more stable source of income, so I have kind of a schedule that I can depend on with that. But I definitely do miss the artistic side of things, you know, playing music and making art. I am craving that.
We all are.
Yeah. I'm just hopeful for some opportunities as the restrictions loosen and clubs start to open up and concert series start to happen again. I'm hoping to get out there and play some jazz and make some music.
You and me both, and I would love to get together again and do that with you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, Mike, I can't thank you enough for doing this interview. It was great. And I hope this episode helps to broaden the perspective of the accordion and your process in dealing with it with the Sonic Tonic audience. Well, Mike, again, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Greg. My pleasure.
All right, my friend. Well, you take care.
Okay, you too.
That interview with Mike Bolger took place on March 25th of 2021. Okay, here's the other Mike Bolger tune. It's called Marielle. It was written by Mike, Kenny Lyon, and Joel Vergel, who's also doing the vocal. It has a nice, easygoing Brazilian vibe. Check it out. Thank you.
The life we led was lush, we lived a dream.
Ah, that's lovely. As I said earlier, I'm now going to play two of my own compositions featuring Nick Ariondo on accordion. The first is a tune called Genesee, and it also features Paul Cartwright on violin, and yours truly on guitar. The next tune of mine is called A Medianoche, and it includes the talents of Miguel Atwood Ferguson on viola, Ken Wilde on bass, and Robert Kyle on percussion. These are all stars. Again, on accordion is Nick Ariando. I'd like to take this time to express a very heartfelt thank you to all the California Jazz Foundation supporters. Our mission is to help musicians in crisis, and to all of you who have generously donated, our gratitude is endless. Please go to our website at californiajazzfoundation.org and see all the wonderful things on the 2021 horizon. For example, we've initiated a live streaming event called Applause, featuring the cream of the musical crop and the young musicians they have mentored. Of course, Sonic Tonic will still be a part of the mix, and on June 6th of 2021, the California Jazz Foundation will have a live streaming fundraiser entitled Give the Band a Hand. That event will be honoring Tim Jackson, the artistic director and producer of the Monterey Jazz Festival. He will be presented with the California Jazz Foundation's NECA Award, and at that same event, Horace Silver, will be honored with the California Jazz Foundation's Heritage Award. The guest performers will include Peter Erskine, Lee Ritenour, Billy Childs, Russell Ferrante, John Clayton, Daryl Dean, Scott Tixler, and Alonzo Bowden. It will be hosted by the 20-year MC of the Monterey Jazz Festival and jazz guru Leroy Downs. Again, go to californiajazzfoundation.org and see what's happening with us. Until the next one, this is Greg Perret wishing you all the best.